You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitler, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitler.
On a Friday morning, it's November 7th, 2025. Nice to have you back here up north across the Civic Media Radio Network. Heading into the week here, where we get to catch up with an old friend, Matt Rothschild. You know him from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign for many, many years. And now he's busy doing all the other things that you're supposed to do when you retire. Like sit and relax. No, Matt Rothschild does not know how to sit and relax. He jumps right into all kinds of activities, including the Wisconsin Forward podcast for us here at Civic Media. Matt Rothschild, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Pat, I'm doing fine. It's beautiful here in southern Wisconsin. I went to fill up my car with gas this morning, and there was almost a full moon, and the sun was coming up. It was just beautiful.
I love fall in Wisconsin, and it helps us take our minds off of current events for a little while. Like I always say, we can't have people plugged in 24/7, but we can't have people unplugged 24/7 either. We got to have that right balance of things. And I know that that's part of your podcast. People might want to go for a walk in the woods, but remain informed along the way. Now, I do not see any new episodes since Election Day, obviously, since that was just 72 hours ago. So let's start with that, Matt, and have your insight as to what it was the voters were saying across the country on Tuesday.
Well, it certainly gave us a bounce in our step. I went to get bird seed the other day at one of the bird seed stores here in Dane County. And the guy who owns it came up to me and whispered, "What a great day Tuesday was, wasn't it?" So I think all of us are secretly exulting if we're not doing it publicly. I think it was a great sign that Trump isn't getting away with what he's wanted to get away with. That was the moral of the story of the No Kings protest, but also the moral of the story of the election, with the great victories not only in New York City, which got a ton of publicity, but also the governorships in New Jersey and Virginia and other victories around the country at lower level races. I was reading something from Nate Silver, who said Democrats were 10 for 10 on Tuesday. I like that batting average.
That is a very good one. Now, as far as what the voters actually said, I want to get right into the scary part of it, because with the election victory of Zoran Mamdani as the next New York City mayor, you know, a Muslim who was born in Uganda, describes himself as a democratic socialist. Oh, my goodness. To see the post this week, you'd think communism was going to sweep across the land. excuse me there, Matt. Let's talk about that, because we've got three legislators here in Wisconsin who use that label, democratic socialist. And having that label says what to you? I sense what it does not say to you is, you know, old-fashioned socialism, government seizing the means of production, whatever that means. What does this mean in terms of a label of what Mamdani and these legislators, and I'm sure there are going to be many more beyond, what is it that they're trying to describe about their philosophy and how they would govern?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I identify as a democratic socialist, so I'm very comfortable with the label. And Representative Francesca Hong, who is one of those three that you were referring to, she's running for governor and doesn't shy away from the label either. Look, there are democratic socialists all over Canada and all over Western Europe who've been in government and out of government for years. And what it stands for is, look, no one should starve. No one should go homeless. We should have a basic level of income support so that people's essential needs are taken care of. It's not about taking over all businesses or any business for that matter. It's about just having people's basic needs met, so that the gun that is at everybody's head every day that they have to go to work is not loaded anymore. You know, people can't pay for rent now. I mean, if you look at the cost of rent, and which was a huge issue in New York City and is a huge issue in Wisconsin and all over the country. I mean, rent, the price of red meat, the price of car insurance, for God's sakes. I mean, it's hard for 50%, 60% of the public who are working paycheck to paycheck just to get by. And so what Democratic Socialists are saying, everyone should have universal health care. We should have universal child care. We should have free college education. And if we can't sell that, I mean, we can't sell, you know, peanuts at the ballpark.
and you know, in doing that, people go, well, how are you going to pay for all this? If there's one thing that should have become clear by now, it's that we have the means to pay for these things. That people go, oh, free bus fare in New York City, that, you know, that's not going to break the bank, you know, of, you know, affordable education, that's not going to break the bank. But what's going to break the bank is taking all that tax revenue that could go to these things and just give it away to the very wealthy, because nobody's buying that trickle-down thing anymore. Everybody knows that's a myth.
Right, and people understand that the super wealthy run the country. The super wealthy run Congress. The super wealthy, especially after the Citizens United decision, you know, they buy our candidates, you know, wholesale. And so that's why candidates who tell the truth about that system, Mamdani, AOC, Bernie Sanders, you know, that resonates with people. People understand that the system is rigged. And actually, Trump himself ran on the system being rigged the first time around. And he has good antenna as a classic demagogue and populist. He understands what people are feeling. Right now, he's totally out of touch. I mean, right now, he's saying there's no affordability crisis. So that's not going to sell very well.
No, we're talking to Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Forward podcast. You can find it over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. Now, in the meantime, I mean, before and after the elections, we were dealing with a government shutdown, with the cutoff of SNAP benefits, which apparently have been restored this morning in Wisconsin. The Evers administration said they had been working overnight to make sure that that was the case again. But between these unilateral cutoffs in SNAP benefits, these unilateral tariff decisions, these unilateral decisions on, you know, projects in blue states get their funding cut, but projects in red states don't. I mean, again, for those of us who watch this stuff day after day, it's pretty clear just how corrupt and authoritarian this is. I just don't know if yet it is still actually reaching, you know, everyday Americans, or if a lot of what they did this week was simply, you know, the vibe of a not very good economy. What's your sense of what people, where do people think Donald Trump really is on the scale of respecting American democracy?
Well, Republicans, according to the polls I see, are pretty much staying with him. Independents are leaving in droves. Latinos are leaving in droves. Look, I think both things are going on. We saw that with the popularity of the No Kings rallies. And here in Wisconsin, there were upwards of 80 No Kings rallies in towns big and small, which is a great thing to see. Those rallies were in response to Trump's authoritarianism. So I think the understanding of what we're looking at here as an authoritarian leader is pretty clear. And actually, for those who want to find a good rundown of it, the New York Times on Sunday had like 10 ways or 12 ways Trump is acting like an authoritarian, in case you're confused. And then what we saw at the polls on Tuesday was just Trump hasn't delivered. He said he was going to bring down prices. He didn't bring down prices. So I think both things are happening, and those are a good signs that there may be a check on Trump's authoritarianism. I do worry that he's a kind of a wounded monster right now, and you never know how that wounded animal or wounded monster is going to respond.
Very true. On the text line here from Jim in Brookfield, always great to hear Matt Rothschild on a Friday morning reviewing the week. It's just like years ago when Matt was a regular on Public Radio's Week in Review. It was great to hear his perspective then, and just as great to hear it today. You still have a fan club there, Matt.
Well, I appreciate it. Fan club of one, anyway. I'll take it.
I think it's a little bit more than that, but Matt Rothschild is our guest here, and he does the Wisconsin Forward podcast. And so let's get into that a little bit. Excuse me, I got a little catch in my throat here. But prior to the election, you had an episode entitled The Usefulness of Protest. And, of course, we had the No Kings rallies not that long ago. Do you feel that that played a role, that these rallies in, when were they, like April and June and October, that played a role in helping people understand the value of their vote, or how do you describe the usefulness of protest?
Well, I think it's crucial. You know, I've been trying to study scholars of fascism and authoritarianism, especially over the last several years since Trump came down that escalator, and So I looked to Timothy Snyder, who wrote On Tyranny, and Ruth Ben-Ghiat, an NYU history professor, who wrote the book Strong Men. And both of them have been talking about the urgency of protest, especially early on in an authoritarian's rule, just to demonstrate to that person that they can't get away with everything. They can't roll over everybody. And also, the act of protest tells other people who feel like, wow, our democracy's going down the tubes, that they're not alone, and also that they could actually speak up and not be afraid. And so I thought that was really important to stress. This was after the October 18th great protest. So I took a snippet of Ruth Ben-Ghiat, a snippet of Timothy Snyder, and then I interviewed two folks in Wisconsin, one very familiar to you and to listeners of Civic Media, Earl Ingram, and he talked about, interestingly enough, the great protests in 1967 and 1968 in Milwaukee, when for 200 consecutive nights, there were protests led by the NAACP and Father Grappi to get integration and fair housing in Milwaukee, and was ultimately successful, that kind of sustained protest activity. And I love talking to Earl anytime. And then I also interviewed Carlene Beshin, who is one of the best grassroots organizers here in Wisconsin, who was one of the many organizers of the No Kings rally. And she talked about the mechanics of getting that done and working together with other groups across the state to make such an event happen and to plan for future ones. So a lot of people were skeptical. You know, I would hear cynics after October 18th. Well, so what? You had 7 million people nationally and 80 protests in Wisconsin. What does it accomplish? It actually does accomplish a lot.
It actually does, because there is a tipping point at which point your country becomes Hungary with a dictator, or Venezuela, where you have somebody still in power, even though every observer notes that he lost the election. It was very clear, and it certainly looks like a roadmap Donald Trump would want to follow for the next presidential election and play some kind of a role in the midterm. And the way to prevent that is to show public opposition before all of that happens. And so, despite the positive results this week, do you expect that there will still be, throughout 2026, these occasions to have large rallies for people to express themselves?
Absolutely. We need more large rallies, even larger than the last one. I think we're going to survive this period by a combination of incompetence and corruption at the top, and nonviolent resistance at the bottom, and people getting out to the polls in just extraordinary numbers, like we saw in New York City.
Yeah. Matt Rothschild is our guest, and you can catch his Wisconsin Forward podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. It is 8:19 right now. Quick preview of some of the sports coming up across Civic Media this weekend. There will be Badger basketball, for example, the men's basketball team, taking on Northern Illinois tonight. The pregame begins at 7 p.m. on several Civic Media stations. Then on Saturday, there will be the Badgers football team versus Washington. Coverage will begin at 1:30 Saturday afternoon on several Civic Media stations. There will not be Badger hockey coverage on the radio this weekend because of the basketball and the football games. And then, of course, there's the Green Bay Packers playing Monday Night Football, which really frees up your Sunday. Get the chores done and then stick around for the Monday Night Football game. Hear it on the radio here, 5 p.m. on several stations across the Civic Media radio network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's nice to have you back on a Friday, November 7th. We're talking to Matt Rothschild. And again, we are open to your phone calls and questions and comments at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Be sure you use that Civic Media app. You can call us that way. You can text us. You can also leave us a voice note and let us know what is on your mind. Matt, I wanted to talk to you a bit about a subject we also covered in our 6 a.m. hour with a reporter from Pennsylvania about, again, there were many election results. A lot of people talked about the New York City mayor's race and California's Prop 50. But in Pennsylvania, it was unique and caught my attention because you had three Democratic state Supreme Court justices who were up for essentially up for re-election. It's called a retention there because of their system. And there was a single billionaire, I believe it's Jeffrey Yass, one of the biggest investors in TikTok, multi-billionaire, who essentially tried to, you know, buy those three seats and get those three Democratic justices tossed out. And it failed. And it failed, I believe, in part because of all the attention that was brought to a single billionaire trying to have this kind of influence. We are no stranger to billionaires in Wisconsin trying to influence elections. Do you think there are any lessons or anything that carries over from Pennsylvania that we could keep in mind and emulate here in Wisconsin next year?
I sure do. People are disgusted by the super wealthy trying to buy our politicians. I mean, remember when Elon Musk was paying people, million-dollar checks here in Wisconsin to try to, you know, tip things into Trump's favor. And Ben Wickler made hay out of that. He said, you know, we're not for sale here in Wisconsin. And it's just appalling after the Citizens United decision of 2010 by the U.S. Supreme Court, which said outside groups and billionaires can spend absolutely as much as they want to tell you who to vote for. Really, are we just an auction block for the billionaires here in who gets elected and who doesn't? Here in Wisconsin, I mean, Dick and Liz Eline and Diane Hendricks at ABC Supply, they're the ones who ganged up on Mandela Barnes last time he ran and just ran some of the most vicious ads. And they can get away with it because of the horrible U.S. Supreme Court decisions on Citizens United and other campaign finance issues. You know, if we're really going to have democracy in this state and in this country, we need a new U.S. Supreme Court to overturn those decisions that say money equals speech and corporations can spend just and super rich people can spend just as much as they want. Corporations are persons. Both of those falsehoods have got to be overturned. Otherwise, sometimes these billionaires can spend through dark money groups and you never know who's financing the ads. And so that's no way for a democracy to work. And the more that we can draw attention to the super rich people who are, throwing mud at our computer screens during election time, the more we can kind of ventilate this problem and the more people will resent those ads and take it out on the people that they are funding. And so I think that's the way to go.
And if I can say for the millionth time here, we don't need it from the left either. We would love
not a
system where a George Soros or a Reid Hoffman or all kinds of other very wealthy people on the left aren't, providing, truckloads of funding. But in the meantime, with the system that we have, who's going to unilaterally disarm? You need somebody who wins and other people who win. And like you said, appoint those Supreme Court justices and get those members of Congress who will say, yeah, we won from a bad system. Now let's tear that system down. It happened in the progressive era a century ago. It can happen again. We're talking to Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Forward podcast. You can get that at civicmedia.us. Click on shows up at the top of the page. And you've got recent episodes that include Trump's militarization of policing and the immigration fight in Wisconsin and more. You want to talk to us about the militarization of policing episodes?
Sure. And just to echo your fundamental point that, our democracy shouldn't be a tug of war between just a handful of rich liberals and a handful of rich conservatives. In a real democracy, we all get an equal tug on the rope. We're not there yet. We got to get there. But yeah, this militarization of policing that we've seen before our very eyes is one of the most disturbing things that's happened since Trump got reelected. So I interviewed David Cooper, the Reverend David Cooper, who was Madison's police chief for 20 years. And he has a blog on policing, and he was just great on this issue and how this is just the opposite of how you're supposed to do good policing, the opposite of community policing. And I also talked with Angela Lang, who's the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities in Milwaukee, often a guest here on Civic Media. And she gave her perspective on this issue, too. So I thought that was a really important podcast to get out there.
Yeah, and again, civicmedia.us, click on shows. And I mean, you look at the episodes that you've done here, Standing Up for Transgender Rights, Is It Ever Okay to Gerrymander a State?, Wisconsin Faith Leaders Speak Out on Trump's Authoritarianism, Bridging the Urban-Rural Divide in Wisconsin. And in every one of these, and a big point of your entire podcast is to look at these big issues and say that the people are actually, they're more willing to coalesce around discussion, negotiation, and compromise than the politicians are. And that's the kind of discourse we should be encouraging, right?
Yeah, and I love the opportunity just to sit down with intelligent guests and get them in front of the microphone and just have a conversation with them on a really important issue and not have a deadline. We can run for a while. We don't need to go to break right away. We don't have to have another guest on another subject coming on and just cut the conversation off midstream. So I like the kind of long form radio, long form podcast. And it's just been a lot of fun for me to be able to get back behind a microphone and talk about the issues of the day. So I appreciate the opportunity from Civic Media.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to cut you off, Matt. We got to go to break. Hey, Matt. I'm just kidding. Matt Rothschild, thank you very much. Always good to catch up with you. And again, the Wisconsin Forward podcast on the Civic Media website. Thanks, Matt. Have a good start to the weekend.
My pleasure. Enjoy the weekend.
You bet. And yes, we will be changing subjects next. We're going to be talking to Mike Clemens. We're going to be talking a little bit of sports, and then we'll wrap up the show with some kind of a quiz that has not yet been explained to me. This should be a good one. Stick around. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. To get into sports, we're getting that much closer to the weekend, and so Mike Clemens will join us in just a touch here. I will say at the front end of this, we're going to touch all the usual sports stories, but there was also a sports story in the news that we're going to discuss. It deals with the very sensitive topic of suicide, and so if that is something that you'd rather not hear about, consider yourself warned. Otherwise, we'll give it all the the care that it deserves, because this is a sadly an ongoing topic in some football circles, and so that's coming up in just a few minutes here. But Mike Clemens joins us now to talk a bit more about some of the other sports and fun things that are going on. Mike, how are you?
Pretty good. Yesterday, Jimmy Kaska is our sports director. He gets me a text, and I'm in Green Bay, and we're covering the Packers hosting the Eagles on Monday Night Football. And, Luke Fickell stays another year, and I'm like, oh, did I miss something? Was there a press conference? No. Chris McIntosh, the athletic director, calls in two or three reporters, one from ESPN, and says, look, Fickell stays. I've met with the chancellor, and our plan, our decision here is it's not the coach, it's what's happened to college sports and NIL. And we have to put more money into this program in order to compete when it comes to recruiting and getting better players. And even though that, under Coach Fickell, we had a 22-year streak of going to the bowl games, that's over with now. We're in a six-game losing streak. We haven't beat a ranked team in the last nine tries. He's 14-19 overall. We had three kids, including Jake Renfro, the center, probably the best shot, a kid getting to the pros, had season-ending surgery during her bye last week. It's a mess. But we have to come up with a story for recruiting, and high school kids are going to make their decision by November 30th. So our story is the coach is back next year, and they avoid the $25 million buyout on his contract.
Yeah, there is that too. Chris McIntosh said, I think the best path forward, the best path to allow us to be competitive, is to execute the plan we have with Luke as the head coach. And, again, I'm not in a position to say one way or another, somebody should stay, somebody should go, but it's the certainty thing that is important here in the here and now. You can do a lot else from here, but you got to start with certainty, and that is definitely what the program put forward this week, right?
Yeah, and it's no different than pro sports. You know, like in baseball, you know, with no salary cap, if you don't put money into your team, you can only go so far unless you're, you know, Pat Murphy and you pull out a miracle and you know lead the league with a record. But you know, that's what Wisconsin's up against now. And you know, but you know, some of these things, like Brian Kelly was fired from LSU, and a lot of these firings now in season before that November 30th deadline, because all these schools are trying to put out a story in terms of getting new players to commit before that November 30th. They're going to owe him, was it $52 million in a buyout? Mm-hmm. And the governor of Louisiana said, okay, enough of this. Yeah, the buyout money is crazy right now, and that's got to get under control. I mean, you know what? The NFL is getting away with having a free minor league set up by colleges. That's what's really going on here.
Oh, yeah. Something's got to change. Let's flip over to basketball for a sec. We've got the Bucks hosting the Bulls, 7 o'clock at Fiserv Forum. And we will be off and running tonight with the NBA Cup in-season tournament. And, Mike, forgive me, I completely forgot your defending NBA Cup holder is your Milwaukee Bucks.
You mean you haven't been to Fiserv Forum to look at the trophy yet? Shame on you.
I have not.
You know, get the family standing next to it, take a photo, right? They call it the group stage game, whatever that is, you know. But, yeah, they're taking on the Bulls. Bulls have improved. And the Bucks, I thought, were very transparent the other day when they announced, you know, that Kevin Porter Jr., the guard, yeah, he's going to be out on a month now. After he had some minor knee surgery to clear up a knee that he injured in a practice on October 30th. I thought that was very I appreciate that from the Bucks, being very clear and definitive about what's going on, where he had it, and that kind of thing. So, and the Bucks, with a nice win the other night against the Pacers, Giannis hit the buzzer, 117-115, and Bucks are in good shape right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then the Badger men, the basketball team, take on Northern Illinois, 7:30 at the Kohl Center. And I was surprised, again, because I don't follow these things this early in the season, to see the Badgers ranked 24th in the country.
Yeah, they are, you know, and it's coming off of their performance last spring. Blackwell's, you know, the leading scorer. Nolan Winter moved from forward over to the center, and, you know, great guard and experienced coach. So, yeah, that's the bright spot of Madison right now, is the men's basketball program. The hockey teams are doing pretty good, and mm-hmm. women's volleyball.
Yep. By the way, the women's hockey team, I believe, has the weekend off. The men's hockey team is in Ann Arbor. They are ranked 10th in the country. They're taking on second-ranked Michigan this evening and tomorrow evening. By the way, the women's volleyball team, Sunday afternoon, they'll be hosting 18th-ranked Indiana. So there's a bit of your UW wrap-up here. All right, so in terms of, you know, more football news, unfortunately, a defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys who, I mean, just had, the day of his life last weekend, but has now taken his own life. And there are ties to, you know, to the Packers somewhat on this. Tell us a bit about the story.
Yesterday morning, I was at an early breakfast at a coffee shop here in Green Bay, and there's a very nice young man that was working the desk. He's looking at his phone. He says, Mike, have you heard about this, Marshawn Nealon kid from the Cowboys? I go, yeah, I saw something about it. It was a police chase and self-inflicted gunshot wound or something like that. I saw his interest, and I thought, you know what? I got to do my due diligence here. And so I went back to the computer, and I used AI. And the first thing that popped up was, yeah, the Green Bay Packers interviewed this kid. Like, oh. So you start going back. So what happens was, this kid's from Grand Rapids, Michigan, gets recruited by Western Michigan, not one of the biggest schools, has a great senior year, a great showing at the Senior Bowl. Now he's invited to the Combine, and he's working out to get ready for the Combine in Indianapolis, which we cover every year. And about a week before, his aunt calls him and says, your mom has suddenly passed away. And he had promised his mom that he was going to make it to the NFL. And he deals with that abrupt tragedy in 2024, gets through the Combine, and then he interviews with 10 NFL teams, including the Green Bay Packers, in one of those top 30 visits. So, you know, he was on everybody's radar screen. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys select him in the second round, early, 56th overall. And now he's down there playing with Micah Parsons. That's his mentor, you know. And then Micah suddenly leaves with that trade and has been gone. And yesterday morning, his girlfriend calls the police for a welfare check, saying he's not in the right frame of mind. And he's like the nicest, soft-spoken kid, a good kid, but dealing with this stuff. The police find him. He's about a mile away from the Cowboys' headquarters, which I've been to in Frisco. I went there when McCarthy was there. Beautiful area. And then he gets out of his car and goes running. The police are trying to get a hold of him. He's got a gun, and he takes his life. Self-inflicted gunshot wound, 24 years old. After, like you said, Sunday night, he had a big play where he recovered a blocked punt for a fumble in their loss against the Cardinals. So who knows all the things that led up to that, but that's what's been going on in his life. And now, it sinks in, you know, after Micah Parsons put a little, you know, tribute to him on social media, like, oh my God, you know, what's Micah, how much is this affecting Micah? Because he was with this kid for the last year and a half that looked up to him. And the Cowboys looked at this kid as, okay, if we trade Micah Parsons, this could be our next leading pass rusher. So suddenly this story has these connections to Green Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, just to let people know, if you're going through something, if you know somebody who is, the 988 Suicide Prevention Hotline is there. Again, 988 by text message as well, or just talk to somebody, and or talk to somebody if you know somebody who needs assistance. Because again, this kid, and I say kid, he's 24, but you know, he was on people's radars not just for his football abilities, but you know, for the depression and things that he was dealing with. And so we, you know, bring this up about the connections, because you never know who you're connected to that might be dealing with something here, and that's why we wanted to share the story with folks. So now we've got, you know, Micah Parsons and the rest of the Packers. They're getting set to cover or play, rather, the Philadelphia Eagles. You're going to be covering it at Lambeau Field. Another Monday night game. How's the team doing after that loss to Carolina?
Humbled, no mm-hmm. doubt. And after losing Tucker Kraft for the next year, too. You know, a couple years ago when Brian Gutekunst drafted a couple of tight ends, first he took Luke Musgrave, whose uncle's the quarterback in the NFL and then now, you know, an assistant coach. His dad played quarterback there. Star, you know, kid with speed, good hands. They thought he'd be the weapon. And then they take this Tucker Kraft from a town of 500 people in South Dakota, who they thought, well, he could be the blocking tight end. Well, then, you know, Musgrave goes down with a lacerated kidney, I think it was, and misses a lot of time. And Tucker Kraft says, just, you know, get me the ball. And now he's become, you know, just this side of Kelce or Kittle, you know, mm-hmm. two of the best tight ends, which he's actually hung around with to work out in the off season, and you know, one of the best tight ends. And in that loss, the start of the third quarter on Sunday against the Panthers, he goes down with a torn ACL. They cart him off into the locker room. So now Luke Musgrave has to step up in that role as the leader at tight end. They also have this guy named John Fitzpatrick, who they picked up from the Falcons about a year ago and elevated him. I talked to him about, okay, so you know they're going to call your number two. I said, what do you think about Monday night's game? He goes, yeah, I got a bunch of my former teammates. He's a Georgia Bulldog. He grew up in Georgia. He's 6'7", very tall. And he's, I think there's like six or seven players. Actually, there's eight. Eight of his Georgia Bulldog teammates, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith on down, are now so they're three more short of becoming the Philadelphia Bulldogs.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's going on, you know, with that situation.
But that, you know, there is one other situation the Packers have to face, and I don't spend a lot of time on this. I've heard it a million times, but Philadelphia is known for a play called the Tush Push. There was this right. move to, like, ban it or whatever the case may be. It is still a thing. So every week, who's ever playing the Eagles, you have to ask this question: how do you stop Philadelphia's Tush Push?
Yeah, well, and then for Green Bay, it's like, why did you try and get it banned? And I told you guys last May, it wasn't the Packers. It was not the Packers. I mean, because I was with Brian Gutekunst when this thing broke at the combine. He's like, well, there's this report from the league. I haven't had a chance to go over it. And Mark Murphy said, man, I don't know anything about it. And then the next thing you know, it's all staged that Matt LaFleur is the one who filed the complaint and that the league should ban the play. And then, you know, LaFleur is at an NFL meeting and asked, so did you put this together? No, we have people, you know, higher up than me that wrote that. Well, then the Detroit Lions president talked to Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, and said, yeah, we also, it really wasn't our idea to change the seating in the playoffs.
Okay.
We were nudged by the league. And then they confirmed that that's what happened to Green Bay as well. So Green Bay, the league's lawyers want to get rid of the play because they think it's a liability. That's what it's all about.
They're going to have to deal with it somehow Monday night. Mike Clemens, thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Pat.
Yep, we'll wrap things up here. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, there it is. There's the sound that says we are wrapping things up for a week, getting set to cruise into the weekend like you're cruising down Highway 29, approaching Abbotsford, and there's that little yellow shack where you get those cheese curds. Maybe you get yours somewhere else. We've got so many good nominees today, but that music will take you down there. Coming up next week on the program, we are going to be spending Monday hearing from Tom Nelson, the former Outagamie County executive who has written a book about the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, an excellent new book. Highly recommend it. Tom Nelson will replay that August conversation Monday morning at 8:30 here on These Mornings, powered by Up North News. Coming up a little bit, in just a little bit, Matt and Air on Air, we'll have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and political editor for Civic Media. And then coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show at 4:30 this afternoon, my friend Pam Gutman, who's a Wisconsin public population health nurse, talking all about the price increases under the Affordable Care Act that Donald Trump and congressional Republicans are forcing through and the effects on people all throughout the state of Wisconsin. So all that and more. But first, it's Friday, and it seemed to work out last week when new executive producer Frank Gargano was able to spring a quiz on me. What was it last week? Disney villain or politician? So we liked it so much, we invited Frank. He passed the audition. He gets to come back for another Friday and bring us another quiz. I believe that's what you have done, Frank. Yeah.
Yeah. So since it's Friday, Pat, and everybody loved the game last week, we're going to do a little week in review quiz where we have 10 questions all about popular culture and other news headlines throughout the week. Let's see how well you guys do at this. I know
how much
about...
I'm sure we'll get through three of them, but let's give it our best.
I know nothing about your trivia knowledge, so we'll see. This is the litmus test right here.
Take it away.
All right, so I'm going to ask you the question. Your name is your buzzer. So, Parker, if you want to answer first, you have to say Parker, and then I'll call on you, okay? All right, Tom Brady made headlines this week for cloning his dog. How many Super Bowls did Tom Brady win with the New England Patriots?
Luke.
Parker.
Oh, wait, Luke's not
Luke,
okay,
what?
Never mind. I was trying to throw you off.
Parker
all right.
said his name first, so Parker gets to answer the question. Parker, go ahead.
Was it six with the Patriots?
It is six. Great job, Parker. That's 1 point for Parker. Remember, Pat, you got to say your own name.
I wanted somebody else to answer. I thought I was throwing out a lifeline there.
I know. Right, on to question ahead. Number two, Zohran Mamdani became the first Muslim mayor of New York City this week. Who is currently the mayor of New York?
Todd Alba. No, Pat.
Pat?
The current mayor. Let's see. Let's go with Eric Adams.
It is Eric Adams. So we're tied at one apiece. Moving on, the trailer for the new Michael Jackson biopic just dropped. What song earned MJ his first Grammy Award?
Parker. I can make him answer right? Isn't that how this works?
Nope.
All right, fine. All right. I'll go with Ben. Let's go way back.
You're going what?
Ben.
Incorrect. Parker, do you want to steal?
Do I lose a point if I get it wrong?
You don't.
Ah, beautiful. Thriller?
It is not Thriller.
Oh, I see. My next guess was going to be Rock With You. Same album, wrong song. All right.
All right, we're still tied at one piece. We're doing our Week in Review quiz right here. Parker's got 1 point. Pat has 1 point. Let's see how many we can get through. Soccer star David Beckham was just knighted and is now Sir David Beckham. Who is the current king of England?
Parker.
Pat.
Pat, go ahead.
King Charles III.
That is King Charles. Fun fact, guys, I was actually in London for the coronation of King Charles.
Really?
Were you at the coronation or?
I was in Hyde Park with a bunch of locals watching the coronation as the jets fly by with like the flyover.
Wow. You're officially a peasant. Congratulations.
I truly am.
All right.
Pat's now leading 2-1. NBC aired a 2-hour special last night promoting the new Wicked movie, Wicked for Good. Cynthia Erivo stars as which main character in the Wicked movies?
Pat,
go ahead.
Elsaba?
Elsaba is wrong, but you're close. Parker, chance to steal.
Oh, I don't know if this is actually that close. Is it Dorothy?
By the way, Luke is now texting in his name over and over again. Luke, like he wants to be able to answer.
Luke can play next time. He might beat you guys. It was not Elsaba, but Elphaba.
Elphaba, yes.
Oh, give him the point.
Okay. You get no point.
That girl can hit a note, I'll tell
you. I warned
you,
no points.
It was
and
amazing.
Got a mercy.
My wife
yourself.
Made me watch it last night, but it was very good. I will admit, it's really good. Moving on to question number 6. We're still at 2-1. Pat is in the lead. The White House decided to create a TikTok this week using Taylor Swift's song, The Fate of Ophelia, despite President Trump previously stating in all caps, and I quote, "I hate Taylor Swift." What is the name of Taylor Swift's latest album, boys?
Pat. Life Pat, of a Showgirl.
Ahead.
Life of a Showgirl.
It is Life of a Showgirl, Pat.
Beautiful.
Right. You know, Parker, I really had hopes that you were going to take that point since you're the younger demo.
He just beat me to it. I had it. He just beat me to it.
All right, we're at, let's see,
3-1,
and we're at about 30 seconds left in the game. Here we go.
Pat, I'm going to crown you the winner and wrap it up. Sorry, right. Parker. Do better next time.
Just not enough time for you to catch up this time. No, I appreciate that. I love the audio, and anytime you can buzz one of us as being out of order, that's exactly. See, we need more of that. All right. Frank, thank you very much. Have a good start to the weekend. Have a great weekend, Parker. Thanks for everything.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to doing this next week. My thanks to today's guests, Matt Rothschild, as well as Mike Clemens. We had our Week in Review panel, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze. We had Kia Vakil here from Courier Newsroom and Sean Kitchen from our Courier Newsroom outlet, The Keystone. Luke is crowning himself the winner on the text line. Well-deserved, Mr. Mathers. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin home for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news outlet, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Have a great weekend. See you Monday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.